March 7th, 2005. I'd like to welcome everybody here this afternoon. We have an interesting agenda. I'm going to start off with our work session on Senate Bill 595. We have already had a public hearing on this particular bill. We have received the amendment, members, the dash one amendment with the emergency clause. And so I'm going to move on with the work session. Senator Whitaker.
Madam Chair, I move the dash one amendment dated 22805 to Senate Bill number 595.
Senate Whitsett moves the dash one amendment dated February 28, 2005 to the Senate with number Senate Bill 595. Is there any discussion? All right. Those of the opinion that the dash one amendment dated February 28th should be adopted will say aye, and those opposed no. The clerk will call the roll.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Senator Pazamsky?
Aye.
Senator Starr?
Aye.
Senator Whitsett?
Aye.
Chair Bercher?
Aye. The motion carries, and the dash one amendments have been adopted. All right. Senator Whitsett.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 595 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senate Whitsett moves Senate Bill 595 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Those of the opinion, House Bill 595 should be reported to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Senator Pazamsky?
Aye.
Senator Starr?
Aye.
Senator Whitsett?
Aye.
Chair Bercher?
Aye. Motion passes. All right. We need a carrier. I imagine Senator Johnson might like to carry that bill.
I would be honored, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Very well. All right. Next, we're going to have, I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 859. Judith?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Senate Bill 859 extends the sunset from 2006 to 2008 on allowing the Department of Transportation to charge permit fees for utilities using a right-of-way on state highways. We have received a no revenue impact on the measure. We have not yet received a fiscal impact. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. I'm going to welcome Gary Bauer from Natural Gas, Northwest Natural. Yes, if you'll state your name for the record, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Gary Bauer with Northwest Natural, appearing today in support of Senate Bill 859. Some of you may remember back in the 2001 session, the Attorney General's Office reviewed a number of activities that the Department of Transportation performed and determined at that time that they either had to begin to charge for those activities or cease doing those. Among those was issuing permits to utilities for their work in the road right-of-way. While Oregon law granted utilities the right to work in the right-of-way free of charge, the AG believed that it was in violation of the Constitution and where highway funds had to be used for the benefit of motoring public. Simply, this extends that ability to issue permits for another 2 years. We are required to obtain permits from Department of Transportation for various types of works, including obtaining a permit when the Department of Transportation chooses to, say, widen a road, which then causes utilities to have to move facilities. That issue is being considered by the Supreme Court. They have not acted yet, and so what we are been told by the Department of Transportation and the Attorney General's Office is without extending this, they once again will be faced with having to decide whether to stop issuing permits or take some other action. So all of us, we've worked with Department of Transportation, other utilities, and we support the passage of the bill. Thank you.
All right. Any questions? Mr. Fowler. So this is strictly just moving the sunset so you can continue doing the permits in Oregon Trend. Department of Transportation agrees. All right.
Joan Plank is in the back. I think she's probably nodding.
We hope.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 859.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 859 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right. Senate Wistett moves Senate Bill 859 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. All those of the opinion that the bill should pass should say aye, and those no, the clerk will call the roll.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Senator Pazemski?
Aye.
Senator Starr?
Aye.
Senator Wistett?
Aye.
Chair Berger?
Aye. The motion having received the majority is declared passed. Anybody particular want to carry the sunset bill? That's all right. I'll carry. All right. Now I'll open the public hearing on Senate Bill 566. I'll have to have the list of people. I don't know who's going to. Okay. Judith?
Madam Chair, members, Senate Bill 566 prohibits the Oregon Transportation Commission as well as the Department of Transportation from designating a highway as a freight route if it is also designated as a historic and scenic highway. We have received a no revenue impact. We have not received word from fiscal on this measure. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Judith. I'll call up Don Bischoff. Don is the staff person for Senator Bill Morissette, who is the sponsor of the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Don Bischoff, legislative assistant to Senator Bill Morissette, who is at this moment in the Education Committee dealing with a couple of bills that he felt he needed to vote on, and he had hoped to get here in time, but he won't. Forget everything you just heard about what this bill would do, because we've asked for amendments to change it. It's in effect a gut and stuff, although with the same intent. The Legislative Council originally drafted this using what turned out to be an erroneous part of the law. The bill is intended to save particularly the McKenzie Highway, Highway 126, from the Springfield East city limits to its intersection with Highway 20. And that is in the process of becoming a scenic byway. A scenic and historic highway is something else completely and doesn't really enter into this. We've asked LC for draft for amendments because of the glut of House bills. They weren't able to get them out in time for this hearing. But they should be coming up shortly. And the amendment will basically say the State Transportation Department may not designate the McKenzie Highway in the boundaries that I just gave you, may not designate the McKenzie Highway as a freight route. A little bit of background. Last summer, there were the State Highway Department, State Highway Division, proposed making the McKenzie Highway a freight route and held a public hearing in the McKenzie Valley, and it brought out probably more people than have come out in the McKenzie Valley for anything in a long time, all of them opposed to the idea. If any of you have driven that section of the McKenzie Highway, you'll know that it's known far and wide for its scenic beauties, for the fact that the traffic, for the most part, progresses relatively slowly, and that people felt that a freight route designation would cause great problems for the highway as a scenic route. So they raised all kinds of cane. You'll hear from some of them here today. They circulated a petition with some 1,366 signatures against having it designated as a freight route. They wanted us to make copies of all these signatures for each of you today, but in the interest of paper conservation, we chose not to do that. But you'll hear from some of them about the reasons they believe it should not be a freight route. among other things, in addition to the scenic beauty, the McKenzie River serves as the water supply for the city of Eugene. It's 150,000 residents, and the concern is that designating as a freight route with the additional truck traffic that might bring, and also with the proposed, with possible, quote, improvements that might be done to the route in the interest of speeding up truck traffic or making it better for truck traffic, would all serve to denigrate the scenic beauty of the route and the reason that people enjoy driving there. In addition, it would cause great problems for several hundred or a thousand residents who have private driveways entering into the highway, and part of the freight route proposal, as they understood it, was that those driveways would be subject to being closed off or entered onto, in some cases, onto access roads. So the amendment that you will receive will simply say something to the effect of the Department of Transportation may not designate Highway 126 from the eastern city limits of Springfield to its intersection with Highway 20 as a freight route. And there are many viable alternatives that can serve as truck routes and do serve as truck routes, freight routes, already, but connecting the Willamette Valley with Central Oregon in that vicinity, specifically Highway 20 to the north, the Santiam Highway, and Highway 58 to the south. Both are much better suited to truck traffic than the McKenzie Highway. Of course, there are trucks on the McKenzie Highway today. There will be there tomorrow. And they are not the subject of this bill or the intent to in any way interfere with the truck traffic. It's already there. Senator Morissette simply wants to keep the additional traffic and the additional problems that might be created from the freight route designation. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you, Don. Questions? Yeah. Senator Whitsitt is recognized.
Chair, is that alternative route on the Santiam, is it still called Tombstone Pass?
I don't know. I always call it a Santiam Pass, but Senator Brzezinski, I'm sorry, Senator Whitsitt, Madam Chair, I don't know the answer to that.
The question is, Tombstone is actually U.S. Point. Yeah, 126 is the McKenzie. It comes out of the Eugene Springfield area.
Yeah,
and then you've got 242, which is the old McKenzie Highway. This goes up here.
So that cut off is the old Tombstone.
That's it.
So the alternative route would be the old Tombstone Pass.
It's this one here. That's
the same.
Yeah. That's correct.
So the Tombstone Pass would be the direct route to Eugene, and you'd have to take the North Santiam to Salem and then come back down the freeway to get to Eugene. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Senator Whitsitt, no. The Santiam Highway, Highway 20, goes from Albany to Central Oregon, and that would be the direct route to the north of the McKenzie Highway, and that goes through the Santiam Pass. The direct route from the south, from south of the McKenzie Highway, would be Highway 58, which goes from just south of Eugene through Oak Ridge to its intersection with the 97, Highway 97, yes. So, and both of those are designed to carry heavy truck traffic and have had a number of improvements over the years, some of it just very recently, to increase their carrying capacity for trucks. The McKenzie Highway is a twisting route for a good bit of its distance because it follows the course of the McKenzie River, and it's not as suitable for truck traffic. Some trucks choose to use it, and of course some trucks need to go up and down the highway to service businesses along the highway.
Follow up?
I think my point was that the direct route coming over from, you know, the direct alternative route to McKenzie Highway is the Tombstone Pass, which is also a very crooked and switchback road. I've been over it a number of times. The other thing that I would ask you, do you think this will open the floodgates for other sections of other highways to be designated as freight free, essentially,
or to prevent them? I'm sorry, Madam Chair, Senator Whitsitt, I have no idea. I think that there are few highways in the state that have the particular qualities that the McKenzie Highway has that have led to all the concern about it being designated as a freight route. It's currently, parts of the McKenzie are already designated as either federal scenic byways, I have to be careful of the phraseology, are currently designated as part of the federal scenic byway system or the Forest Service scenic byway system. Both of them have scenic byway designations. There's an application that's currently being processed by the State Transportation Department to have the in McKenzie Highway, within the boundaries that we've outlined in the bill or in the amendments, to make that a state scenic byway. It currently is not, but the application is in the works.
All right, other questions? Senator Metzger.
Thank you very much. I was looking at your notes from Senator Morissette regarding possible amendments to the bill.
Yes, sir.
And one thing just to throw out to you, in my district, they're in the final phases of a scenic byway, Highway 26, the whole loop around Mount Hood, Highway 84. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, the people in my area believe the freight route and the scenic byway can coexist. And would not be interested at all in having anything that limited their ability to maintain that coexistence. In fact, I think that's going to be heard before the OTC this next month. Now, the amendments, so regardless of the overall issue, looking at your desires, the amendment note that I received from you is that you would, first of all, narrow this to only reflect your own highway. I just want to make sure you understand is that it's extremely important to people in my district that we maintain the freight route and their petition for a scenic byway, because that seems to work very, very well in the Mount Hood Loop, and we wouldn't want to do anything that would somehow supersede that ability.
Madam Chair, Senator Metzger, we'll keep our hands off your highway.
Thank you.
Other questions? All right. Thank you, Don, very much. I'm going to call Senator Johnson.
Madam Chair, why don't we just have her on the committee? She's here all the time anyway.
Just bringing you these excellent pieces of public policy, that's all.
And we appreciate it.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Betsy Johnson. I'm the state senator from Senate District 16. I'm joined today by Commissioner Lila Gable from Clatsop County, who also serves as the chair of the ACT, the Northwest Area Commission on Transportation. I'm here really to confess my own bewilderment and confusion. We initially showed up to try to reconcile how 566 and Senate Bill 894 were going to work together, and have since, sitting here for the last 10 minutes, it's learned new news about 566. Senator Whitsitt actually speaks to some of our issue about the question of exempting certain pieces of highway from the freight designation, but also upon entering the hearing room, I was told that subsequent testimony may unfold that speaks to that issue. So mostly my appearance today is to just be on the record as saying, as the representative of a section of the Oregon coast that is served by Highway 101 and serves a number of coastal communities, we believe that there are issues that need to be reconciled between designations of all American highways, scenic byways, freight routes, and where and when tourism investment can be made as a product of the legislation passed last Senate to make some of these small towns more livable, more tourist friendly, and more conducive to tourism. And so this, I think for me, is a beginning of a long process to understand how these pieces fit together. I simply wanted to express for the committee some concern that small towns along the coast have, and to bring to the attention of the committee the position of the ACT. I am going to depart and go testify on another bill and leave Commissioner Gable to share with you some of the concerns that have been raised in Tillamook and Clatsop counties. Mr. Russell indicated that he may have additional testimony that will speak to our concerns, but I just wanted to be on the record as saying there are some issues with the freight designation that are of deep concern to my constituents, and I would like to be able to follow the legislation as it moves through your committee. And so with your permission, I'd like to excuse myself and leave Commissioner Gable to share with you the concerns of Clatsop County and the Act.
You may stand back, Senator Johnson, and welcome Commissioner Gable.
Thank you,
my compliments to you for serving with the Act. I think they're wonderful organizations. I don't know how the Oregon Department of Transportation got along without them. They do a great job down in my part of the world, and I'm sure in yours. So welcome and begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. In September, the Oregon Department of Transportation took public comment on freight route designation. At that time, the Northwest Area Commission on Transportation went on record at opposing freight route designation for Highway 101 within Tillamook and Clatsop County. It's actually south from the Cannon Beach Junction to the Tillamook line. At the same time, the Clatsop County Commission also took that position, and the Tillamook County Economic Development Council went on record in that opposition. We also, though, and I want to make this totally clear, we are not against freight routes. At the same time, we were asking to have that designation not happen. We requested that Highway 6 in Tillamook County be designated as a freight route because it ends up at an industrial park. And some of the concerns that we had were that Highway 101 is an all-American highway. It is a scenic byway. And many, many years were spent obtaining that kind of designation for our community. It's one of the key items in our coast and that brings people to our coast, that affects our economy. Excuse me. Tourism is certainly one of our top economic engines for the coastal community. When the legislature passed the 1% room tax in the last session, what part of what that was for was to try and bring more people to the coast. And we just are having a very difficult time seeing how making that portion of Highway 101 be a freight route. At the same time, we're saying, come see our beaches, tour our coastline, and stop and visit our coastal communities. We have towns like Rockaway Beach, and we're concerned that if that city would like to do little bulb outs or add additional crosswalks, there may be issues if they try to do that, because it would definitely slow down freight. And we all know the importance of getting freight through. That is very, very important to our economy. We have Highway 26, which is a freight route designation. We have Highway 30, which is a freight route designation in my area. But with all these small towns, there needs to be some way that we can coexist. And we're not asking to exclude trucks. We're asking to maintain that coexistence. And we would certainly welcome bringing our rail up to standard so that we can forward the Connect Oregon piece, because that would allow the movement of freight along the coast and allow the coexistence of tourism and freight movement. So what I'm here today is to ask that we be able to maintain the current method of sharing. We're concerned that if it's designated a freight route, it could possibly impact our ability to get scenic byway dollars. I haven't heard whether or not, if we try to get those and it's designated a freight route, which has a different, totally different definition, it could impact those federal dollars. And this is a federal scenic byway. So,
well, we'll see if we can find that out today.
I'd greatly appreciate that, and I appreciate your allowing me to testify today.
Happy to have you. And now we have Representative Boone.
And I wasn't going to testify. I was just going to come up in support, but I thought I should explain. My name is on this bill, and I'm torn between because I have one Tillamook County commissioner who's very much in support of the bill as it is, and then this fine commissioner from Clatsop who's very much against it. And
oh boy, being elected official
yes.
is fun, isn't it?
So, all that being said, and I'm aware of the letters of opposition from the Tillamook Economic Development Committee and the entire Clatsop County Commission. And I'm also aware of the proposed amendments, and I'm like Betsy. I thought on first blush this means more money for our area, but then Commissioner Gable brought up some issues that I hadn't considered, and I'm anxious to hear about too. And also I'm waiting to hear how the other amendments will affect this. And I just want everything to be just right. So thank you.
Well, that's a noble goal. All right. Well, if you may stand back, and I'm going to call John Jackley from ODA. Let's find out a few answers to questions here. While he's coming up, I read with great interest in the paper today that the only reason I was hearing these bills was that I'd had all kinds of pressure on me. I'd like to announce that no one put any pressure on me. I put pressure on my administrative staff and kept asking her, when are you going to bring the freight bills up? I thought having two bills like this, totally different bills, would be an interesting dialogue and conversation for us to have. So, John?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm John Jackley, the Executive Officer for the Highway Division at the Department of Transportation. Appreciate the opportunity to testify today. You've got two bills on the agenda. The one specifically that we just turned in testimony for was Senate Bill 566. Our written testimony addressed the bill as it was originally written. We've learned this afternoon now that there'll be amendments offered that will kind of completely change it. We have no objection to the direction that Senator Morissette's office has just described in terms of Senate Bill 566. We'll be happy to come back and testify when the amendment's actually drafted, but from what I've heard and from our understanding of what the language will be, we have no objection to it at all. And I'd be happy to answer any questions, either about 566 or the other ones.
Okay. I have some questions, and I hope the committee will have questions for you as well. Why did you decide to designate freight routes since trucks already are moving on Oregon's highways?
Sure. Madam Chair, members of the committee, let me start perhaps by going into what is a freight route and what the implications are. Then I'll walk us, and this will be very brief, I promise, through the redoing of the Oregon Highway Plan, which is the process that you've heard that was described last fall, and then to how we got to where some of these bills are. Right now, state freight route designations have four major implications. First of all, potential highway projects on freight routes receive priority for funding in the statewide transportation improvement program. That's the ODOT. For all intents and purposes, it's our regular construction program. Secondly, the Oregon Transportation Commission, because of House Bill 2041, which was passed by the Legislative Assembly last session, that's the Oregon Transportation Investment Act. Most people know of it in terms of the state bridge program and some of the large construction programs associated with it, but it also said that the commission may not invest our construction funds in projects that diminish capacity on state freight routes. The third implication is that the ODOT Highway Design Manual prescribes higher standards for construction and preservation on freight routes. In other words, the roads are sturdier, they're thicker, they're built to handle a heavier load. And then finally, the current Oregon Highway Plan specifies that if a load local jurisdiction wants to apply what we call a highway segment definition, which is a special transportation area or an urban business area, to an existing freight route, that jurisdiction would have to show a management plan that demonstrated how freight mobility would still be preserved over a 20-year planning horizon. And then it's important, I think, to distinguish what a freight route designation doesn't do. It doesn't have any effect at the number of, on the number of trucks that are actually going to use the road. It doesn't serve to route or reroute trucks either on that route or to other routes. Truck traffic is driven primarily by three factors. For local traffic, it's where you pick up the goods and where you deliver them to. For through traffic, it's time and distance. And then finally, if there are any temporary detours. So that's the background, in essence, of what a freight route designation does or doesn't do. It has funding implications, has some planning and some design implications, but it doesn't have any implications for how many trucks actually use the road, whether in terms of being routed or in terms of their actual use. That is determined, in essence, by business practices and by the economy. Now, last fall, as part of the Transportation Department's process to update the Oregon Highway Plan, a process was set in motion to look at freight route designations and what would be a logical or reasonable application of expanding those routes. It's also confusing because there's the national highway system, which for all intents and purposes is the federal freight route designation. We had a public process that was set in motion. That was overseen by our Transportation Development Division. They undertook a lot of public outreach, a number of hearings, a lot of town hall meetings, in essence, in different parts of the state to get input on their recommendations to expand freight route designations. As part of that, Senator, Madam Chair, you'd asked in particular how the McKenzie Pass Highway came to be designated as that. Since it was all, my understanding is that since it's already part of the federal national highway system, there was a staff recommendation to designate it as a state freight system. And that's when the different constituencies and stakeholders got engaged. And that's how we ended up with Senator Morissette's bill.
Okay, the Oregonian reports that you have agreed to drop the stretch of Oregon 126 from Springfield to the San Yim Pass.
That's correct. We don't have any problem with the direction and the intent of Senator Morissette's bill.
I have a few more questions, but I'm going to open it up to the committee. Any questions? Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. The first bullet point that you mentioned here, the number one, is seems to me to be a pretty important fact. If we've got communities that are currently in the discussion of having their main streets or state routes through their communities, and they don't want to designate them as freight routes, could they potentially lose having STIP dollars spent to improve those facilities, thereby shifting those dollars to other areas in the STIP?
Madam Chair, Senator Starr, members of the committee, that's correct. Section 37 of House Bill 2041, which was the Oregon Transportation Investment Act of 2003, specified that projects on freight routes would receive that priority. Hence, if you have a project or a potential project that is not on a designated freight route, you lose that edge in the competition for state funding in the construction program. That's correct.
Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If we could go back to what was pointed out earlier, that the bill wasn't written exactly like Senator Morissette had hoped, and he was actually talking about scenic byways rather than scenic highways. And I know you were prepared based on the bill as written, so I'm just going to tap into your knowledge, though. Can you help me with what conflicts, if any, exist between the designation of a scenic byway and a freight route, and if there are any intrinsic conflicts between the two, should a route have both designations?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senator Metzger, there isn't any, to tell you the truth. We have a number of freight routes and federal and state scenic byways that currently coexist. There aren't any federal impediments to funding if you have one designation over the other. The scenic byway designations are very valuable in terms of tourism and marketing, and in fact, in order to become a scenic byway, as your constituents know, it's required to put together a management and a marketing plan to promote the scenic, the historic, and the beauty of that area that would become the byway. But there's no practical or legal or statutory conflict. In fact, the scenic byway that is currently going through the process that will end up before the Oregon Transportation Commission, both Highway 26 and I believe 35 are already state freight routes, and they will, I'm sure, become designated as scenic byways, and there isn't any conflict.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to point that out so that we don't get our language. We're talking about different things in the bill, and has been pointed out earlier, scenic highways and scenic byways, and they're not exactly the same. So as we move this discussion further into the scenic byway designation in terms of both the availability of federal dollars and the ability of local communities to have management plans, that in this particular case, when we talk about byways, there really is not a conflict for what we're currently doing.
Does that answer Commissioner Gable's question about does the fact that they have the scenic highway designation, would it affect the federal funding to that particular designation?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I believe it does. Most of Highway 101 already is both a scenic byway and a state freight route, and we put both state and federal dollars into projects up and down the coast every construction year.
One of the perceptions is obviously when you say designated freight route, that means you're going to start sending more trucks. And am I hearing you say that is not true? But if that is a designated freight route, wouldn't that make other companies use those routes more?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, it's a great question because I think it goes to the heart of the matter of this issue, which is the perception over the language as opposed to the actual operations on the ground. The designation of any given highway as a state freight route really has no implications whatsoever for the volume of trucks that will use it. Trucks will use any given highway, subject to legal restrictions on length and that kind of thing, because of business and economic reasons, but a freight route designation is principally one of capacity. In this case, it means which of our state highways do we want to preserve for freight mobility. If you look at some of the economic projections currently, about 72% of Oregon's freight is carried on trucks. Freight volumes are expected to double in the next 15 years, and yet for the foreseeable future, I don't think anyone expects the number of state highways to increase. We may add lanes here and there and do what we can to expand capacity, but we have essentially a finite system faced with a growing freight volume, and a part of that is Oregon's economic recovery. The more the state puts people back to work, the more companies that come to Oregon, the more family wage jobs that are sustained and created, the more truck traffic you're going to have. So the policy question is, to what extent and on which state highways will the capacity for freight to go through reasonably unimpeded be preserved, but it doesn't serve to route a single additional truck on any given road at all. It's strictly a capacity designation.
Okay. Other questions? Senator Whitson.
Chair Bridger, Mr. Jackley, in your point number four, it says here that you must first provide a management plan that will show how freight mobility will be preserved over a 20-year planning horizon. Could you discuss with us who determines the content of that plan, who approves the plan, and what sanctions other than withholding funds, if any, occur if the plan is not approved by the ODOT?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senator Woodsett, that's also an excellent question because it goes to the checks and balances that Oregon has built into how we make decisions about highways on a fundamental basis. That's correct. The current Oregon Highway Plan does specify that if a local jurisdiction wants to apply one of these segment definitions, they need to show through a management plan how freight mobility will be preserved over a 20-year planning horizon. Those segments, those STAs, special transportation areas and urban business areas, are approved by the commission. So absent a management plan that the commission approves, the local jurisdictions can't do that. But it also shows the kind of flexibility that we have into the system here at Oregon, because that decision ultimately lies with the Oregon Transportation Commission. It's a volunteer commission. It's appointed by the governor. It's balanced geographically. It's balanced politically. They serve as citizen volunteers. And over the years, we've just had a succession of tremendous people, men and women, who make these decisions based on their regional knowledge and on the best interests of the state. And if a local jurisdiction wants one of these designations, and they're going to have to do the work to show in their management plan that freight mobility will be preserved over a 20-year planning horizon. In essence, they have to convince this board of citizen volunteers, our transportation commissioners, that they've met those tests. And if they haven't, then they don't get those designations, or they have to go back and do additional work until they get there.
And what sanctions, other than withholding funding for improvements in the highway, would ODOT have?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senator Woodsett, other than not being able to have that designation, I'm not sure, but I'll double-check for you. But I think that's the main one, because if they can't show that they've met that requirement in their management plan, they don't get the designation, and they don't get to do the work under that.
The content of the plan, is this a major document? Are we talking a little thing like this? Are we talking 20 pounds? I mean, what are we talking here?
Madam Chair, Senator Woodson, in many instances, it depends on the nature of the work that's being done. If they're proposing a huge amount of work along an extended stretch of highway, the actual document and the amount of analysis that goes into it is going to be much bigger. If it's a much smaller project, it's going to be correlatingly smaller. So it really does depend on the nature of that, and we'd be glad to send you some examples if you'd like to take a look at them.
All right. I'm going to have you step back, and we have a number of people that want to testify. Jim Baker.
Thanks.
Welcome, Jim.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee, Transportation Committee. I'm Jim Baker, represent the Blue River Community Development Corporation. My address is 51013 McKenzie Highway, Finrock, Oregon, 97488. And we support SB 566, and we ask that you move it on to the full Senate. This bill will protect many rural communities that depend on tourism and recreation for their economy. Communities such as Blue River, Oregon, one of the most severely economically depressed areas in Oregon. We are located on Highway 126 East, known as the McKenzie Highway. The upper part of this highway is a federally designated scenic byway, and the group is in the process of getting the rest of the highway a state of Oregon scenic byway. The highway, for the most part, parallels the McKenzie River. The upper river is both a state and federal scenic, wild and scenic river. SB 566, even as it's amended, would give us relief from highway abuse that would come from a designated freight truck route. The Oregon Transportation Commission dropped the McKenzie from its proposed list of recommendations for a new truck route after a massive uprising of opposition. And that's why we need you to help us to move this bill and complete the job. And The McKenzie is getting very loaded already with trucks. We're going to have a massive amount of log trucks on the highway this year. We've lived with heavy truck traffic before, but there's a vast difference between freight traffic and log trucks. Most of the log truck drivers are residents of the community. If they don't live on the McKenzie, they live in Eugene. In other words, it's sort of, we know where they live. And it's very different. They're not beating time so badly as, sadly, the most of the cross-country truck drivers are. And it's just a different, totally different climate.
Jim, did you turn in written testimony?
I'm going to turn in some.
You have it there?
Yeah.
You'll
yeah.
leave it with
yeah.
us? Okay.
I sure
Good.
Will.
All right.
And any other questions? We're glad to...
Any questions, if any? Senator Pruszynski.
Really a comment. Jim lives in the district. He's been a very active supporter of community development in the Blue River and the McKenzie North, or let's say the upriver area. So, Jim, thank you very much for coming forward and giving your concern. One question I would ask you, since Don did not cover that, you were in attendance at that Walterville community meeting.
Yes, I was.
What would you guesstimate how many people are actually in attendance at the meeting?
300. That school gym was packed, standing room only.
Oh, I was there.
That's good. That's the best kind of policy making there is, you know.
Yes.
And you can get a whole bunch of community people together. that's really the best, the essence of American politics right there. Anything
is.
Else, Jim?
No, thanks.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, you step back, and I'll call my next one. Shirley Latimer?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Shirley Latimer. My address is 40624 McKenzie Highway in Walterville, Oregon. And when you're talking about that grassroots, I was the one that started it, and we had 10 days to do it. And it's very difficult to get all those people who don't have a common town or an incorporation or anything else. Believe me, the phone wires were wild. And I was very appreciative of all the people who came. I am here to say yes for 566 and move it on, as Jim Baker asked. I am not against truckers. My husband was a trucker at one time. But I would like to ask a question. I wish the rest of the people were here, of the people up here. How many of you have actually spent any time on the McKenzie, other than passing through going to Sisters or Ben?
Good.
Well, this is the thing. You know, it's a piece of paper in front of you people who are trying to do the best for our state of Oregon. But McKenzie Highway houses 2,000... Oh, I'm glad you're back. 2,043 driveways off of this narrow McKenzie Highway. The driveways and or entrances to the road are only the beginning. I counted personally, driving from Cedar Flat all the way up to McKenzie Bridge, the number of roads and driveways. Some of the houses on that road are only 10 feet from, in quotes, the freight route. Now, I would like you to imagine that there was a double trailer, semi-trailer, going across the back, right across the back of this room. I think if all of you went like this on the table, you would get the sensation that the people on the McKenzie have every single day, all night long, recently. Now, I've been there 2 years, and it wasn't like that when I moved in. And I'm 380 feet back off the road. My friends, some of them, are 40 feet. Any widening that would happen would go right through their house. And so, because you people are in a position to not be able to see the environment itself, I wanted to paint that picture for you.
Sure.
There are also three schools on that highway. Now, because of gas shortage, the bus drivers are being told to stop the bus in the highway and to walk the kids across the highway. And the bus drivers told me when they see in the rear view a truck coming behind them, a semi-trailer, and the back end of the second trailer is swerving because they can't control the stopping, she said, it's absolutely frightening. So those are things we don't see when we hear about a bill. And the other thing is when you have a bed and breakfast, a motel hotel, and there are many cabins right along the river with the beautiful sound of the river, you no longer hear the sound of the river. All those people hear all night long is about every 8 to 10 seconds. This should be a peaceful environment, an uplifting environment. All of us need a place to go to that is like that. Life is stressful. The fishing, the rafting, the recreation. One of our friends that's in our group was run off the road by a truck. He no longer can practice because of the hurt. And he was in the bike lane. Those 2,043 driveways are only the ones on the highway. Those roads go up, and then they're secondary levels. So you're talking about more people pouring out. If they tried to widen the road, we'd have to have frontage roads. How would those people, I mean, that would be disastrous. And I forgot the gentleman's name back here that spoke. It was very nice. From ODOT.
John Jackson.
Yeah, hi. Anyway, he was talking about the roads and what it says in the bill. I read the bill, and in one section, there's a very scary part. It says, in unincorporated areas and outside the urban boundary, and that's all of the cities that come out of Springfield on the rest of that road, freight route becomes expressway. Expressway is I-5. I implore you, protect this gem of Oregon.
Shirley, the bill is going to be changed. You heard Don Bischoff say that.
Yeah.
It would be changed.
I don't know what they're going to say.
One strip of highway.
All right. Any questions?
All right. Any questions for Shirley? All right. Senator.
More of a comment again. Shirley, again, thank you for your involvement in the community. I know that, as you said, you really were able to activate a number of people. And it's my understanding from what Don Bischoff brought up that your group, SMASH, actually got the 1,300 signatures. And that encompasses, can you give us the geographic area from Springfield all the way out?
It was amazing. People called me and said, where can I sign your petition? Some of them were from Eugene. Some of them were from out of the state because they had entered the grocery store, and we had them in the grocery stores and the beauty parlors and wherever. But they vacationed there for 3 weeks, or they have a second home. They were from all over, but mostly from Blue River, McKenzie Bridge, Vida, Nimrod, Walterville, of course, Cedar Flat, Springfield, Eugene. And that is Eugene's drinking water. I believe it's 300,000 people that drink the water that come out of the McKenzie, plus all the endangered species we spent millions on to protect. And one spill in those two reservoirs, which sit right next to the highway. That's it forever.
Thank you.
Shirley, thank you very much for your testimony today. I'm going to ask you to stand back and call Bob Russell from the Oregon Trucking Association.
Madam Chair, a point of information.
Yes.
Are we hearing Senate Bill 566 now, or we haven't opened on both bills? Or
we're hearing 566.
Okay, thank you.
After Bob, on deck is Scott Rickler. Not right. I just have the feeling. But anyway, Scott, you're next after Bob, and then we'll move on to our final bill.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Bob Russell. I'm president of the Oregon Trucking Associations, and at this time I would like to limit my comments to Senate Bill 566, other than I want to thank the people from the McKenzie that are here and the commissioner from Clatsop County that are here. I think when we get into the discussion of 894, that it's going to be a healthy exchange between the different interests. As far as 566 is concerned, working with Senator Morissette's office, I understand there's going to be an amendment, and it would prohibit the Department of Transportation from designating on the McKenzie Highway or Highway 126 from the city limits of Springfield to the junction of U.S. 20 as a state freight route. I want to say publicly that we support that. We have no problem at all. The preferred route for trucks going from Eugene to Central Oregon is Highway 58 over to Highway 97. It's much faster. The geometry is much better. It's a much better route for trucking than 126. So we would support Senate Bill 566 as amended.
All right. Thank you very much. Scott?
Thank you, Chair Berger, members of the committee. It's Scott Bricker with the Bicycle Transportation Alliance and Willamette Pedestrian Coalition. I think I have to clean up my writing a little bit, don't I? Used to typing these days. I also am going to limit my comments to Senate Bill 566, and I have written testimony on the next bill. In general, the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, of course, is in interest of scenic byways and also interested generally in strong local communities, providing good places, and we really are interested in the access for all users, and that goes from freights down to walkers to seniors, bicyclists, and whatnot. We are generally supportive of this bill. I know this scenic stretch, and I think it's a really important piece of highway to designate. However, I do have some slight concerns, and that some of those concerns were brought up by, I believe, by Senator Whitsett, which is, does this bill specifically open up sort of the floodgates to communities from around the state asking their piece of road to be designated? And I think generally, as a practicing planner, planners would prefer to do this through comprehensive planning process. And I think that's part of the freight route analysis project, which is currently ongoing, it was doing. And that's where the 300 people showed up as part of that process. And I think ODOT was considering removing, or may have considered removing, that route anyway. Again, as people had pointed out today, it wouldn't necessarily change truck traffic destinations or their routes, but what it would do is it would prohibit ODOT from doing some things which were passed as part of OTA3 last year, or last session, excuse me. Mainly that was to reduce vehicle capacity, and I think those are going to be some of the points of my next testimony on the next bill that will hopefully be heard today. However, I want to note that I think this is part of something which is perhaps a larger concern, which is local communities being able to have an impact on what their street is designated, and I think this is a clear example where 300 citizens stood up and said, we don't want our route designated as a freight route. I think there are other communities we've heard already will feel the same way, and I look forward to more conversation on that. So thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Scott. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 566, and I'm going to open the public hearing on Senate Bill 894. Judith?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Senate Bill 894 defines freight route as any highway included in the national highway system for the purpose of prohibiting a reduction of capacity on state highways. We have received a no revenue impact. We're still waiting for word from fiscal. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Commissioner Gable? Welcome back.
Thank you. Senator Verger and members of the committee, Madam Chair, thank you for allowing me to speak today. And I think you actually heard just about everything I had to say. For the record, my name is Lila Gable. I am a Clatsop County Commissioner. I also chair the Northwest Area Commission on Transportation. And I'm here today to speak about my concerns about Senate Bill 894 and how it might impact our economic engine in Clatsop County and Tillamook County. In September 2004, when Oregon Department of Transportation took public comment, the Northwest Area Commission on Transportation, the Board of County Commissioners, the Tillamook County Economic Development Council all supplied written testimony opposing designation of Highway 101 within Clatsop and Tillamook counties as a freight route. They are that area, and actually I believe all of Highway 101, but I'm not positive, is designated a national scenic byway and an all-American highway. This is a very, very superior designation for any highway. It took years for people to get it. When we advertise for tourists to come to our community, almost every tourist comes to look at the ocean. That's what we're about. I mean, it's the Oregon coast. And we spend a large amount of our economic development dollars on attracting and marketing our tourism designation. That's one of our top three economic engines that we have in our counties. As you know, forestry has dropped off, and we've had fishing, and with some of those areas, that's also dropped off. So our tourism, it becomes even more important. And it has allowed a lot of entrepreneurship for economic development in our area to develop it because of the tourism. And what we don't want to have happen is to have anything that is going to keep tourists away. As we bring in an aging group of people, as all of us are growing older, I'll speak for myself here, we have a lot of people that are driving RVs down that highway. They're driving slowly, and it has an impact on freight traffic. What I would propose is that we look very closely at the possibility of expanding rail capacity along Highway 101 and address it from that area. Special transportation areas have already been designated in some areas. There's concern that with some of the requirements, if it's designated as a freight route, that could impact the capacity of a local jurisdiction to have the money available to even pay for some of the requirements that Oregon Department of Transportation might put on them. And
Commissioner, you read the bill, I'm sure.
Yes.
And in Section 3, it says a local government, as defined in ORS 174.116, may apply to the commission for an exemption from the prohibition in subsection 2, which is the one that describes the freight route. The commission shall grant the exemption if it finds that the exemption is in the best interest of the state and that freight movement is not unreasonably impeded by the exemption.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure what unreasonably impacted means. And that's a concern. And I'm also, the local jurisdictions believe that it should be their right to make a decision about their local area.
Rather than asking for an exemption.
Yes.
The highway is the federal highway?
Yes.
All right, questions? Nope. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to call up Charles Tannenbaum.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I'm a retired physician and I live on Route 126. That would be at milepost 17, and I appear as a member of SMASH, a local, as you may know, grassroots citizens group. I oppose SB 894 for the following reason. This bill gives the designation of freight route as any highway included in the national highway system. That is in the amendment of 366.215. That's the way it's defined in that. And I would submit respectfully, that that gives no place for local characteristics of roads. Now, we heard the commissioner from Clatsop County describing what they feel their local situation is. We heard Senator Metzger talk about the likes and dislikes of the people that he represents. Now, this would have no recognition of either local preference. Route 126 I will just give you a few characteristics of it, which those of you who haven't driven on it, apparently not, may not know. It's a dual-lane road. It basically follows the Mackenzie River down the valley. There are no turnarounds. In some points, there is less than 100 feet between the edge of this highway and the Mackenzie River, with a steep drop-off. This Mackenzie River narrows down into a valley less than a quarter of a mile wide as you're proceeding up toward Mackenzie Bridge. In September of 2004, ODOT produced the results of its freight route analysis project, and I hold this before you. Perhaps some of you have had copies of it. And basically, the staff recommendation to ODOT was that they advise the Oregon Department of Transportation in its forthcoming April meeting that the Mackenzie Highway be removed from consideration as a state route. Now, I appreciate the position. This is the first time I've heard it of Mr. Russell's Oregon Trucking Association, and I intend to, as an aside, talk to him afterwards and hope that the members of his association are aware that there are no longer any impediments in trucks heading south or north crossing the bridges, crossing the rivers, that the bridges which were out a while for repair work, the Willamette and the Mackenzie, they were out for a while. Trucks had to use alternate routes. Right. That's no longer the case, and I would hope that his members are aware of that. That's all I have to say, and I would be happy. I appreciate the opportunity to make this presentation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that I'm capable of.
Okay. Any questions? No? All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Jane Maxwell.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jane Maxwell. I'm a resident of Vida, Oregon on Good Pasture Road. I live on the Mackenzie River. I, too, am a member of SMASH, the Grassroots Committee, the Scenic Mackenzie Association for Safe Highways, and I'm a fly fisherwoman. I fished the Mackenzie River for the first time last fall, and something that struck me as we were drifting down in our drift boat was the sound of mechanical brakes in the background. And I thought, you know, this struck me as odd that here I'm on a wild and scenic river fishing for native trout and listening to mechanical brakes in the background. And then I was told that the truck traffic had increased because of these bridges that were being repaired, et cetera, but it also really delivered the message to me that in some cases the highway is less than 10 feet from the river. And my concern specifically is that there could be a really horrendous accident, particularly if the trucking capacity of this highway were increased with this capacity designation that was described by the gentleman from ODOT. That would mean widening of the highway, making it more substantial for heavier traffic, higher speeds perhaps. And back in the 90s, there was a very bad hazardous waste spill into the Sacramento River that basically destroyed the entire ecosystem of the Sacramento River. The Mackenzie Highway is a resident of at least two endangered species that I know of, probably more, and is a source of drinking water. And so I am opposed to a state bill. What is it? 894, I'm sorry. I forgot the number. But I support the new amendment 566. So I just wanted to make you aware of the proximity of the road to the river and the potential hazard that is there if there were a spill of hazardous waste from the truck traffic.
Jane, if 566 passed and it exempted Mackenzie and it would not be designated, are you still against 894?
Madam Chair, I think before she answers the question, she needs to understand that there's an amendment here that would change the definition, or could change the definition. We have not heard what's going to actually be the final bill.
On 894?
On 894, and I think...
Who is going to bring that to us?
Mr. Russell has one, I know.
Okay.
Because my concern with 894, the way it's currently written, its question is which passes first, because you could basically take anything that's currently a national highway system road, which includes 126, and it becomes a freight route.
Not if it's exempt. It's in the bill.
It's in one bill, but the other one passes, and one passes before the other, then you go in based on that.
Well, that would be true. That would be true.
Yes.
However, if the exemption passed, if they were exempt, and then the other bill passed, that was my question to her.
Yes. Madam Chair, I think it actually has to be in one bill. I think they pass separately and in conflict with one that's...
Well, that might be a suggestion from you, that they be combined. When I first read the bills, they seemed to be totally at odds, and I thought that we need to find out and have more of this conversation, and I'm glad I heard the bills together, because I think that makes it much more, much clearer to me. All right. Well, I thank you very much, Jane. Are there any questions out there, Farmer? No? All right.
Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Bob Russell.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Bob Russell. I'm president of the Oregon Trucking Associations. I never thought such a short little bill would be so controversial. but I hope that I can sort of clear up some misconceptions and maybe offer some changes to the bill that will make it work for everybody. Current law, ORS 366215, prohibits the Department of Transportation from reducing the vehicular carrying capacity of a state highway that is a designated freight route, state freight route. That's important. State freight route has a real significant connotation here, so it's important that we keep those separate and hold that up there.
Excuse me, Mr. Russell, would you just explain for the audience what capacity means in your language?
It's included in my testimony,
all right,
Madam Chair.
Thank you very
I would
much.
Be happy to address that.
All right.
There are exceptions to this prohibition for safety. Crosswalks would be an example. Lights would be an example. Anything that's required to make the highway safer would not be included in that prohibition. There are also exceptions in that existing statute for access, so people can get access to their property, the driveway cuts, those kinds of things. That's not part of the prohibition. And as Madam Chair mentioned earlier, there's also an appeal provision where people can appeal to the commission, local governments can appeal to the commission if they want an exception to this particular statute. And again, and the commission can grant that if it finds that it's in the state's best interest and it does not unreasonably impede freight. The state freight route system currently is comprised of approximately 2,000 miles, and the very, very last page of my testimony is a map. And the yellow routes that you see on the map
are the current state freight routes, and I'll be happy to share these with you. And there's some other copies of my testimony, I think, that they put in the back, and there's the maps attached. So it's approximately 2,000 miles. The purpose of Senate Bill 894 was to expand the protections of ORS 366.25 to the national highway system. The difference between the current state freight system and the national highway system are the purple routes. And that is approximately the combination of the state freight route system, which is also the national highway system, and the national highway system that isn't part of the state freight route system, is approximately 4,000 miles. The national highway system is the federal freight system, although it also has implications for national defense. Some of the NHS highways are provided to military, strategic military installations, so that we can move military goods in the time of a national emergency. According to the Federal Highway Administration, the national highway system nationally comprises about 4% of our total roads, streets, and bridges. However, nationally, it carries 40% of the total traffic, 75% of the heavy truck traffic, and 90% of the tourist traffic. I think that's a very important point, that our major national highway system routes are also the routes that we have most of the tourist traffic. According to the Oregon Department of Transportation, and John Jackley mentioned it earlier on 566, the trucking industry currently transports approximately 72% of the tons of freight in Oregon. Again, the total volume of freight is predicted to double by the year 2020. At that time, the trucking industry's share of that pie is supposed to increase slightly from 72%, so we're going to be carrying more of it. And I think that there's a point that I should make at this point. We have a multimodal transportation system that includes rail, trucking, water, pipeline, air. We support a multimodal transportation system, but in virtually all cases, that last mile from whatever mode to the customer is the truck. So even as we invest more in our other modes, which I believe we should, there's still going to be an increase in trucking on our highways, as long as our economy continues to be robust. So based on that, it's real clear that Oregon's economy is very, very dependent on the services provided by the trucking industry. However, the trucking industry also recognizes there's competing uses for our state highways. In many instances, the state highway is Main Street. However, we believe that these arteries of commerce that are so vital, not only to our state, but even beyond our state's borders, the capacity that we have today has to be protected. We recognize that although with OTA 1, 2, and 3, we passed the largest public works projects for road in the history of this state. We passed over $2.5 billion worth of projects. The trucking industry supported that, and we were pleased to also support an increase in our taxes to help pay for that. But even with the largest public works project in the history of this state, we are not going to have enough capacity on our highways in the next 15 or 20 years. In these times of constrained funding, and we're going to have growth in truck traffic, we're also going to have growth in automobile traffic, tremendous growth. It seems to us that the least that we can do is protect the capacity that we have today. Some have asked how we define the term capacity. I went to Webster's Dictionary and pulled out the common meaning of it, which means cubic contents, volume, that which can be contained.
the intent from our perspective is the physical characteristics of that highway. One of my colleagues often talks about the hole in the air that we need to move truck traffic. The height, the width, that's what we're talking about, is preserving those physical characteristics so we can still get through. We know there's going to be more traffic. We know because of more traffic, whether it be pedestrian, bicycle, automobile, truck, that there's going to be bike lanes, there's going to be crosswalks, there's going to be traffic signals. That's not what we're talking about. We just want to preserve the physical characteristics of those important routes that we have today. The threat to some of these routes is very real. Over the last few years, for example, we had a proposal on Highway 99, which is currently part of the NHS system, and it's also a state freight route, to reduce the size of the lanes to 8 feet. And that's right in the middle of the East Side Industrial District in Portland, and the major warehousing is just to the south of that. 8 feet is 96 inches. Our current trailer widths are 102 inches, and the mirrors stick out a few inches beyond that. So if we had have reduced those lanes to 8 feet, we would not have been able to use that facility. It would have been totally unsafe. And it would have cut off many, many businesses that depend on freight transportation from having the transportation that they need. There's also been a number of proposals on Highway 101. I got a call from a local official in Neskowin about a year ago, and she said that the Department of Transportation was proposing to put a roundabout in the middle of 101 in Neskowin. And she said the community was totally opposed to it. When I saw the design, it would have prohibited trucks of the size that currently use that road today. We wouldn't have been able to serve the economy. There was another proposal for a roundabout down in the Chairs District in the Coos Bay area. That discussion didn't last very long, but it would have had the same effect. Trucks that currently use that particular stretch of highway would not be able to if those projects had have gone forward. Many times when local governments propose those kinds of restrictions, it's not with the intent of prohibiting trucks. A lot of times the planners just aren't aware of the physical requirements that we have to get through on our highways. There are a couple of amendments that I have attached to my testimony, and I hope that they will help to clear things up. There are significant implications when the Oregon Transportation Commission designates a highway as a state freight route. Because currently ORS 366215 has the term freight route, there has been confusion that this statute does the same thing as if the Oregon Transportation Commission designated it as a freight route. We've heard some of that discussion today with special transportation areas and mobility standards and a bunch of other things that happen if the OTC designated a highway as a state freight route. To eliminate that confusion that we're not talking about state freight routes, the first amendment that I'm proposing would basically eliminate the new language in the bill and would also eliminate the existing term freight route, and it would replace that term with the national highway system. So then what the statute would say, and the commission may not permanently reduce the vehicle carrying capacity of a national highway system highway when altering and et cetera. So the term freight route will no longer appear in the statute. There will no longer be any confusion about state-designated freight routes that are done by the Oregon Transportation Commission and this particular statute. The second amendment that I'm proposing is one that deals with changes in mobility standards. The Oregon Transportation Commission sets mobility standards for different classifications of highways. The implications of mobility standards have to do with what kinds of development can be done alongside the highway. if a development is going to exceed the standard for a mobility standard, then often the developer will have to pay for additional transportation facilities in order to do the development. Sometimes they can't do it at all. The commission from time to time changes those mobility standards. So in deference to the developer community, we're proposing a change that would basically say if the commission changes the mobility standards on a stretch of highway, it doesn't have any impact on the statute. The statute does not come into play. Both of these amendments are currently under discussion with various parties. I have not submitted them.
Not with the chair.
I have not submitted them to legislative council. What I would respectfully ask is that we be given a few days to continue the discussions. When we think that we have some sort of an agreement, that we'll send them down to legislative council, get them formalized, and then we would urge this committee to consider 894 with the amendments and hopefully pass it out to the full Senate.
I would have appreciated knowing that you were working on amendments or that you would be bringing some amendments today.
I apologize to the chair.
Yes, thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I just want to go over this concept of changing the, making this amendment and inserting national highway system in there, knowing what the map shows.
Sure.
Can you tell us what at the federal level, in the sense of what criteria is used or what procedure is used to designate any of the roads or what or how another road that may not currently
sure.
be designated become a national highway system highway?
Madam Chair, Senator Przanski, actually it's the Oregon Transportation that designates the national highway system routes. However, the Federal Highway Administration approves that. The current system, as I understand it, and I've been here for over 25 years, and it hasn't changed to my knowledge in that period of time. A lot of this goes back many, many, many years. However, my understanding is that the Oregon Transportation Commission can also propose to remove a route from the national highway system, but again, they would have to have the approval of the Federal Highway Administration.
Okay. I can follow up. Then, and I know that the different areas have different, commissions or groups that report back to the Oregon Transportation Commission. And so those groups, let's say in my region, Eugene, they basically are appointed by the governor or local level, I guess, and then they in turn provide recommendations to like the Oregon Transportation Commission as to maybe something becoming a designated freight route. Do you know if there's a process where the public actually has the ability to get input as to what these groups are actually doing? My concern is making sure there's some type of local participation and not maybe a smaller group that's been designated that does not have any responsibility to report or hear from the public.
Madam Chair, Senator Przanski, you're asking me about the operations of the Area Commissions on Transportation.
I guess in the sense of how these different roads can become nominated or recommended and whether or not the public has a means of some feedback to that.
I think I would prefer to defer that question to the Department of Transportation, who could give you unequivocal answers about that.
Fair enough. Then the last question, if I could, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that's basically going over again the vehicle carrying capacity.
Correct.
What you've discussed today and what you and I talked about is basically what you don't want to see happen for the trucking industry is seeing current roadways that are set at certain widths to be narrowed or putting obstacles in the way that could be either height limitations or being able to have turning capacity such as turnarounds. Is that a fair?
Madam Chair, Senator Przanski, that is absolutely a fair characterization. It is the physical, it's the hole in the air that will allow the truck to move through that we're concerned about.
All right. In the essence of time, thank you, Mr. Russell. You can back away. Obviously, 894 is not going to be the same bill, neither is 566. So I'm going to close the Senate bill hearing on 894 and invite any of you to follow along as the changes are made in these two bills. I'm now going to open the public hearing.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Before you do that, I just wanted, I know that there's some people to hold out here. I'd like to see if we can maybe get some of the answers. And I posed to Mr. Russell that he felt reluctant to answer, that maybe checking with me, because I believe this is going to be pivotal for whether I can support the bill based on what impact the local community will have.
All right. Mr. Jackley, you are the director, one of you.
Well, we can do this stuff. We don't have to take up the time. I just want to put this on the record. I understand that these bills will be coming back again.
They will be.
And maybe this is some information that
okay.
can be shared with
all right. That's good. Thank you, Senator Pozanski. I appreciate that. I'm going to open the public hearing on House Bill 2223. And I'll call Kevin Neely.
Good afternoon, Chair Berger, members of the committee. For the record, my name's Kevin Neely, and I'm the Executive Assistant to Attorney General Hardy Myers. And I'm here to support House Bill 2223. This is a simple little bill that does one thing, and that is remove the state's anti-panhandling law from the statutes. This is not because the Attorney General is a great fan of panhandling, and I don't think he's had to resort to it yet, but the Supreme Court did in 1994 find the law to be unconstitutional. And unfortunately, over the course of the past decade, a number of law enforcement officials, both state and local law enforcement officials, have cited the panhandling statute when at loss for a citation to give. They look through their book, they see that statute there, they don't realize that it's unconstitutional, and they write a ticket. And in at least three instances, the issuance of that ticket has resulted in litigation against either the state or the local public body. That litigation, I know, has cost the city of Portland about $20,000 and the state of Oregon $40,000. This bill simply removes the statute so that temptation won't strike the next time an officer has an occasion to cite someone for panhandling, because it simply is unconstitutional law. So with that, I would encourage the committee to support this bill and at some point move it to a work session and get this law off the books so we don't have to worry about any additional tort liability on behalf of the state or local bodies. I thank you for your indulgence, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right, questions. Senator Stark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The question I have is, do we have to pass a constitutional amendment to deal with this issue? Because it's one that my constituents have contacted me about on numerous occasions, and I do a little bit of research, and all of a sudden I found out that we got something on the books, but it can't be enforced because of the former ruling. Is there, short of a constitutional amendment, is there nothing that we can do?
Madam Chair, Senator Starr, unfortunately, I think that's our analysis. We sat down at the outset of the session to take a close look at this statute and to see if there's any way that we could craft a similar statute that would be sound constitutionally, and we worked with LC, we worked with Representative Avakian's office, and we just came to dead end after dead end. So unfortunately, I think your analysis is correct.
Other questions? Senator Metzger.
You're not an attorney, are you?
I am not.
Okay, I didn't think so. So I'll ask you anyway, though. because you can play one. I mean, everybody else does.
Exactly. I do more than most, it turns out.
I'm just curious on 814-092, which is the carve-out for fire folks to solicit us. Mm-hmm. It does say in that part of the statute that it doesn't prohibit them from doing that. I mean, obviously, that's a permissive section. But it does say they have to have adequate liability insurance because they're by the highway. Has there been any exploration or saying you can go ahead and solicit, but you also have to have adequate liability insurance?
Madam Chair, Senator Metzger, not that I'm aware of. We asked LC to draft this bill to pull out the prohibition against panhandling, and they included that statute as well. And I think they did that principally because absent the panhandling statute, there's no prohibition whatsoever, and they don't need an explicit carve-out. But again, if you'd like me to follow up on that, I'd be more than happy to.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would just be curious, because the point is mm-hmm. that you know, it has nothing to do with firefighters, clearly. But if the point is free speech, you say you can exercise free speech, but you also have to be sure that you're indemnified against any injury, might reduce panhandlers if they don't want to have the liability insurance. So I would just be curious as to whether that would be extended as an overburden on free speech or not, as to require to be adequately covered and to indemnify against case of accident or injury. So could you handle that and find that out for us?
I certainly can.
Thank you.
All right. Other questions?
Not touching that with 100.
No. Well, that was a good conversation, Kevin.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being here, and I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2223, and if there's no other business to come before this body.
Were we not going to move this
one? I'll call the meeting adjourned.
All right.